You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the August 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing scanning with GPS, ACARS, and AIS, the Elinco DJ-X100TE Digital Multimode Receiver by George Fiesola. Two images on this page show first a screenshot of the radio in GPS mode. There's a figure of numbered satellites arranged around a circular plot. Text reads VSCAN GPS Mode AM Step 12.50 128.125000 GPS 1258 North 53.839861 West 2.580123 Altitude 192 meters. Satellite 15. The caption reads, a close-up of the Elinco DJ-X100 receiving GPS data while on airband. The other image shows a screenshot of a computer. There are icons displayed, a window with text in it, a window with figures showing plotted data. The caption reads, an example of AC-ARS reception using the Black Cat AC-ARS decoder and the Windows FreeChir visualization software, courtesy George Fiesola. Back to the text. With most scanners I have seen to date, you would have had to link the radio up to your PC or laptop by means of a sound card and through the use of a software decoder in order to resolve these communications. Not so with the Elinco DJ-X100. This is the first serious scanner I have seen that offers a built-in self-contained decoder for ACARS and AIS. It was therefore hotly anticipated by the listening community, including by me. The primary ACARS frequencies in Europe are 131.525, 131.725, and 131.825 MHz, and a few other channels. Maritime AIS transponders use VHF maritime channels 87B, 161.975 MHz, and 88B, 162.025 MHz, in a 9.6 kbits per second Gaussian minimum shift keying GMSK modulation. This is over 25 and 12.5 kHz wide channels using the high-level data link control HLDLC packet protocol. You can access the decoders via the menu. Simply select Mode, Data, ACARS, Set, and you're ready to go. The screen, 2 inches, full-color TFT LCD, 320 by 240 pixels, is not a touch screen. It will display messages and transmission type, for example, general response. This is a generic message you will see quite often. I did receive a much higher volume of AC-ARS messages when the radio was hooked up to an outdoor disc cone antenna or one specially cut for the airband, and the same was true for AIS messages. Monitoring traffic, weather, and position. I was worried about being able to read the messages on the relatively small screen, but I shouldn't have been. Both letters and symbols displayed were crystal clear and readily decipherable. I did find that the kind of screen you select for this can make a difference. For me, black writing on a white screen worked best. Some of the other screen color combinations are a matter of taste, but may help you if you have special requirements. I also had the scanner connected to a PC and some decoding software. Black Cat AC-ARS Zorn's Lemma 11.42. Just to double check on the messages received. This kind of parallel monitoring was good fun and allowed me to do some very basic signals analysis with Microsoft Freature and Spectrum Lab. Monitoring aeronautical and maritime weather forecasts, as well as AIS positional data, are key interests of mine, and this scanner makes it easy. In terms of AIS, you can access AIS Europe Channel 1, 161.975 MHz, directly by long pressing number key 5. This is very handy indeed if you are out and about, messing with boats, or just as an armchair observer, slacking off in the shack, as it were. I live a little further inland from the coast, and I found it useful to deploy a dedicated AIS antenna, home cut or acquired from my friendly marine equipment radio store. You can also check out the VHF frequency of your local Maritime Safety Information Broadcast, MSIB. These transmissions go out every 3 hours, day and night. The closest one to my shack is the Maritime Rescue Coordination Center at Holyhead Coast Guard. On the slightly irregular frequency of 160.775 MHz. The Olinko DJX-100 brought the regular broadcasts to me in crystal-clear clarity, although I live many miles away from the coast. Shame I cannot auto-record and store the broadcasts for the whole day. Caught in the act. If you are out and about a lot, roaming stations, airports, and shopping centers as I do, sad, I know, then you'll be happy to hear that the Olinko DJX-100 also offers something like Uniden's Close Call feature. In terms of this scanner, it is called F-Count. Frequency counter, no jokes, please. It's basically the same idea. See page 70 in the owner's manual. This useful feature operates between 50 and 470 MHz at 1 kHz resolution. This ought to be enough to monitor the excesses of the surveillance state, your local deliveries, pub and shop watch, and so much more besides. Three images on this page show first a picture of the hull radio with its antenna attached. The caption reads Olinko Digital Multimode Receiver DJX100TE, courtesy Olinko. The next image shows a close-up of the keypad. There are the numbers 123, 456, 789. Below those numbers are skip and set. And to the right of those numbers are mode config, step megahertz, V/M MW, and scan program. The caption reads, close-up of the membrane touchscreen. It's one of my least favorite features of this radio. In my view, this type of keypad, without more prominent rubberized keys, will wear out in no time at all. The third image is a photograph of the screen of the radio. Text on the screen reads, Olinko DJX100, VFO GPS, mode FM step 12.50, 145.262500 MHz, CTCSS 103.5. The caption reads, close-up of the display screen. I did find that the kind of screen you select for this can make a difference. For me, black writing on a white screen worked best. Photos courtesy of the author. Back to the text. Pressing the function key, F-U-N-C, followed by a short press on set, opens up the relevant screen, but be aware that the unit also responds to noise. When you've caught that elusive transmission, long press set again, and hey presto, the cat's in the VFO bag, and the bag's in the river. Use this to learn what really happens to your Amazon parcels. The signals have to be reasonably close and strong for the unit to pick them up, though, as with all other such close call features. I have to say that the DJX 100 performed very well when I visited a selection of shopping malls and garden centers, nosy parker that I am. Summary and conclusion. The Olinco DJX 100 stands in a long line of popular and high-quality scanners from this well-known manufacturer, and it does not disappoint. The performance was satisfactory to good in both digital and analog modes, and the menu system is largely self-explanatory and easy to use. As with all hand-portable scanners, using external antennas and, where desired, external active speakers ratchets up the reception sensitivity by a notch or two. In common with many other scanners, the DJX 100 does not allow self-contained and unattended recording, for example, onto an SD card. The keyboard is flat and has no visible adaptations for partially sighted hobbyists. The AC-ARS and AIS functionalities, together with GPS reception and position display, enhance the usability of the scanner in manifold ways and are a real joy to use. You might well want to make this radio a part of your home weather observation routines, as I did for as long as I had it in the shack. You'll also love this scanner if you wish to take full advantage of the scanner's digital signal reception capabilities on the amateur radio bands. Listening to D-Star for an afternoon made me aware of just how global things are becoming in the world of amateur radio. All in all, if you wish to dip your toes into the world of digital scanning, you may want to give this radio a go. Many have anticipated the radio's functionalities regarding AC-ARS and AIS, and the Olinco DJX 100 certainly does not disappoint here. As always, the use of external antennas, speakers, and other accessories will expand your scanning horizons even further, especially in the area of AC-ARS and AIS data reception. It is a very enjoyable piece of kit to have. The Olinco DJX100TE Digital Multimode Receiver retails for £499.99 at Moonbreaker, $459 at Ham Radio Outlet. Once again, my warm thanks go to Justin Godfrey, Jez Fox, and the great team at Moonraker UK for the loan of the review model and for fielding my questions. For further reading, go to moonrakeronline.com, hamradio.com, olinco.com/products/ham/ht/DJ-X100TE. And now Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, ks4zr1@gmail.com. Getting started, HF Aeronautical Listening. Two images on this page show first a photograph of a lighter-than-air airship. Text on the airship reads R-34. The caption reads, First Aeronautical Transoceanic Radio. Landing of the British dirigible R-34 at Mineola, Long Island, New York, July 1919, public domain. The other image shows a drawing of an airship, and hanging below the airship cockpit is a line depicting an antenna. The line goes down immediately below the cockpit, then it curves to the back of the airship, and then it curves towards the front of the airship. There appears to be a weight at the bottom of the antenna. Text in the image reads, Note curve of antenna of airship in flight. Note peculiar shape maintained by antenna while ship is in flight. The caption reads, Sketch shows 500-foot-long antenna dangling from the forward gondola where the R-34's radio room was situated. From Radio Amateur News, August 1919, courtesy of AmericanRadioHistory.com. Back to the text. A reader recently commented that he got his grandson interested in radio monitoring by introducing him to VHF airband listening. He wanted to introduce him to the world of shortwave listening, and I suggested he get his grandson to listen to the aircraft activities on the shortwave frequencies set aside for just that purpose. Readers of the late Larry Van Horn's hundreds of columns and feature articles over the decades that he wrote for both Monitoring Times, MT, and TSM will be very familiar with the concept. But for newcomers to the hobby, it's a whole new experience. HF aeronautical is a bustling subgenre in the world of shortwave listening, an area that can provide as much interesting monitoring, both digital and audio, as you are willing to explore. Larry spent decades prowling the HF bands, assembling incredibly long lists of frequencies and continually updating his listening post with newer and better radios, computers, software, and antennas. He was an acknowledged expert in the field, publishing collections of his columns and features in both MT and TSM in a series of 5 Kindle ebooks called the Milcom Files, which are still available on Amazon. The 5th and final volume was published in 2022. In addition to those titles, he also published an update to his Civilian Aero Military HF Frequency List on January 9, 2023, which can be found at mt-milcom.blogspot.com. The dawn of flight and radio. Aeronautical monitoring is as old as radio and aviation. You might be surprised to learn that the first nonstop flight across the Atlantic happened in July 1919, when the British dirigible R-34 became the first aircraft to make a nonstop east-to-west trip across the Atlantic from England to New York. The trip took 108 hours, covering a distance of 3,200 miles. It was also the first ever round trip of any aircraft, flying the 7,420-mile round trip at an average speed of 43 miles per hour. But the flight also set records in the distances covered by radio. According to an article in Radio Amateur News, August 1919, the R-34 had 3 radio operators on board, a supervisor and 2 operators who manned 4 transmitting sets, which included a high-power sustained wave, today referred to as continuous wave or CW, set for long-distance work, a medium-power set for distances up to 500 miles, and a damped spark transmitter for damped receptor stations, and a wireless telephone set, which is the medium-power set, so arranged as to permit radio telegraphic or telephone communications to be carried on. The antenna consisted of a phosphor bronze stranded cable 500 feet in length, which was lowered from the forward gondola, in the middle of which the radio room was situated. The cable was fitted with a weight at the end, which mostly maintained the wire antenna at right angles to the airship. The large transmitter, which employs octillion tubes of British design, drawing 3.6 amperes on the filament circuit, and the application of 3,000 volts to the plate circuits, a radiation of 4 amperes was possible. While over the Firth of Forth and communicating with the Queen Elizabeth, which was some 9,000 feet directly under the airship, the station situated in the Azores reported picking up the R-34's signals a distance of 1,400 miles. Several images on this page show first the book cover of one of Larry Van Horn's books, The background image on the book cover is an artistic representation of a satellite with deployed solar panels. The text on the book cover reads, Larry Van Horn, The Milcom Files, The Spectrum Monitor, Volume 4, 2021. The next image shows the book cover of another one of Larry Van Horn's books. The background image shows a Coast Guard vessel with a Coast Guard helicopter above it. The text reads, The Milcom Files, The Spectrum Monitor, Volume 5, 2022, Larry Van Horn. The third book cover has as a background image the control tower of an airport. The text reads, North American En Route Aviation Guide, VHF-UHF Frequency Directory, Larry Van Horn, N5 FPW. The caption for these three images reads, Deep Dive into Aeronautical and Military Monitoring. The late Larry Van Horn, N5 FPW, wrote the Milcom column for Monitoring Times and the Spectrum Monitor for decades. Three of his very useful books, The Milcom Files, The Spectrum Monitor, Volume 4, 2021. Milcom Files, The Spectrum Monitor, Volume 5, 2022, published January 2023, and North American Guide En Route Aviation Guide, VHF-UHF, published October 2013, are still available as Kindle eBooks. Prices are $4.99 each, or free to Kindle Unlimited members, courtesy Amazon.com. Another image on this page shows a piece of equipment. It's a cube. It has connections available on it for attaching cables. The caption reads, Not your typical ham gear. This is an example of a networked communications airborne radio from Collins Aerospace, an RTX business. The stacked modules include an interface, power amplifier, power supply, and receiver exciter modem. The antenna is housed in the vertical stabilizer with the display controls and mic integrated into the cockpit. Courtesy Collins Aerospace. The final image on this page shows a picture of a portable radio. Text on the radio reads XH data. The screen on the radio is illuminated. Text on the screen shows 29.999, 6 o'clock, SSB, LSB. The caption reads, Powerful land-based stations, such as New York Radio and San Francisco Radio, transmit an upper sideband USB, which is receivable on any modern amateur radio high-frequency rig, and many inexpensive portable shortwave radios, such as the XH Data D808, $108 shipped free for Amazon Prime customers. Courtesy Amazon.com. Back to the text. You may imagine that the well-publicized round trip across the Atlantic had hundreds if not thousands of radio bugs listening in on their homemade receivers as the R-34 crossed both ways. The interest in monitoring high-frequency aeronautical communications has not declined over the last 100 years. But the hobby is greatly advanced thanks to the relentless march of technology that not only lets us listen in to air traffic control and pilot communications, but we can follow the flights of these aircraft, monitoring their progress in altitude and air. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.